brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to another suds segment where, through very exhaustive research, we've found that if you drink enough beer, both good old boy Dave and good old boy Kendall will sound exactly alike. And they talk about the same thing.
See? Wow, it worked. We're not even drinking yet.
Yeah. Nice little chuckle there.
That was a little creepy.
That was a little creepy.
Yep, it's kind of my thing.
That's the intent.
If I drink enough beer, I start reading like Dave.
Oh, burn.
True. And spelling like Dave?
Yeah, we get there too.
Damn it, I hit the wrong button.
And we're done.
Spot on.
Well, I am good old gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today is good old boy Kendall.
It's always a pleasure to be here, but I'm really excited about today.
Reverend Mark.
Yeah, can't wait to get into these old classic beers.
Good old boy Dave.
If I peed my pants, would you pretend I just got wet from the rain?
Sure.
And making his debut on the dark side of the podcast is Made Man Bob.
It's just basically whiskey you haven't finished yet.
Bob spelled backwards is Bob.
Exactly. I spell mine backwards. Some sell it B-O-B, but I spell it B-O-B.
Oh.
It's a big difference.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Today's episode is a brewery takeover of, wait for it, North Coast Brewing Company in lovely Fort Bragg, California. Can you believe this is the first time we're doing this?
There's a Fort Bragg in California?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, it really is, because this is a legendary brewery.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, and some of these styles have informed our judgment about so many others.
As we will be discussing in
California's
a brief few minutes.
Mendocino Coast.
Yeah. Well, good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about North Coast?
Okay, I'm going to read like Kendall. Here we go. The first thing you notice when you go to North Coast Brewing Company's website is a very catchy phrase, making the world a better place one pint at a time. Still not deep enough. Once you get inside, you'll see they are proud of several things. They've been an independent craft brewery since 1988 when they started out as a brew pub in Fort Bragg. They are committed to philanthropy and sustainability, and their solid lineup of beers has earned them over 100 awards on both the national and international level.
Woohoo!
Yeah. That's almost as many awards as we've won.
Well, almost.
According
almost.
To Mike.
Reverend Mark, why don't you give us the lineup for today?
Be glad to. The North Coast Brewing beers that we'll be tasting and discussing today are Old Stock Ale, Old Rasputin, Scrimshaw Pilsner, Brother Theolonius Belgian Style Abbey Ale, the Tart Cherry Berliner Weiss, Prankster Bellingen.
Shut up. Try spelling when you're drunk.
Right. Prankster.
They were making fun of
Belgian
your reading
style,
ability.
Golden Ale. We all know that one. And now my typing of course, ability. The one that Dave drinks all the time, Foggy Day IPA.
And then constantly in a fog. You guys are jerks.
Thanks for every mark. That was awesome.
Man of the cloth, my butt.
Could have say what kind of cloth?
Yeah.
Polyester.
Yeah. Leisure suit.
Leisure suit, Larry. Mm-hmm. Go to my Kendall. Why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1. That sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2. Was that a belch? Ah, what a relief is 3. And 4, a body should really not make that sound. And on top is 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
All right, let's get into it. So we're going to be talking about each one. We'll give us our opinions and we'll give our taste and our tasting notes and rate it. And the cool thing about today is that we're doing it right off the cuff. Now, granted, we've pretty much tasted every one of these many times, but we're going to start fresh from scratch.
There's one new one here that I haven't had, so I'm looking forward to it.
But he won't tell you which one it is until...
Dum, dum, dum.
Suspense.
All right. The first one we're going to get into is the Old Stock Ale. 10.2% ABV. Dang. Like a fine port, the Old Stock Ale is intended to be laid down.
Laying me down.
Drink
already.
A sixer of this, you'll be laying down.
It's a good thing we're starting with the 10% beer.
Yeah, we're starting with anesthesia, right?
Yeah, it's to ease you into it, right? You know?
So this is an old ale. Very malt forward.
Very Maris Ottery.
Mm-hmm. Biscuity.
Lots of otter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taste the otter.
Boozy.
A lot of otter that came across the water.
It is very boozy. This is a big some heat beer. Coming off this dog. This one could lay down for a few more years, I think.
And you know, this is one style of beer, and this beer in particular, that couldn't really ding it if it was terribly oxidized. It'd be just okay.
Well, that actually ends up part of the style. So. And this one's probably pretty close to whiskey, Bob. I mean, it's closer than the others.
It's closer than the others, absolutely.
Do you know, was this a fresh old stock, or is this a one you've had
this
for a while?
This is a 2021
old stock. Oh, wow. Stock. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if I've had many this fresh.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to, I'd love to do a vertical of this beer at some point. That would be solid, but I'd have to go back in time or start now.
If you drink too many of this, you're not going to do vertical, you're going to do a horizontal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think this is like the second or third most savored by myself over the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, put that in with a seasonal kind of caveat that it's usually in the cold months.
Yeah,
it's
this isn't.
It's a real panther, so you know it's good.
Well, that's the best.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't the kind of thing that you would drink all summer long.
No, it's got a bite to it. And I'm thinking... I'm not sure I like it fresh as much as I do with a couple of years on it.
Some of these like big barley wines, old ales, they definitely mellow out. Some of that booziness and the heat goes away.
Mm-hmm. One of the kind of similar beer would be the Bigfoot, which I think is okay fresh, but I think we have done a show on the vertical of that. And after 2 or 3 years, it gets really smooth and tasty. So I think, let's come back to this beer in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think like that, like the Bigfoot vertical we did, the J.W. Lee Harvest Ale, like any of those barley wines and things like that, the more you can kind of give them some time. Those are the ones you definitely want to buy. If you buy a 4-pack, throw 2 or 3 in the cellar.
Somehow this reminds me of, is it the English, the John Hardy? Is that right? It's been a long, long time, but it's very similar to that.
What do you think, Bob?
I think it's nice. I mean, I enjoy the body of it, but I definitely see where you guys are going. I think this definitely is one that needs some time because I think a little oxidation would take some of the edge off.
Mm-hmm. It would.
And it would take sort of that alcohol forwardness down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Well, we are going to rate the Old Stock Ale a 3.
River Mark's under protest.
Sorry.
This is one that'll change.
That's more like my that would be my BJCP.
I think a 2018 would probably rate it.
I get
a 4 or 5.
What's the CP for?
BJCP.
Yeah, what's the second?
Beer Judge Certification Program.
That's I'm thinking of something entirely different. Sorry.
I'd say it's not a 5. It's not a perfect 5, but it's really within the style.
It is spot on to style. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And with age, it would get.
Better. It would go at 4, maybe 5 with the right aging.
Yeah. 100%. Okay, moving on.
Another light one.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. Man after my own heart. Old Rasputin, the 9% ABV Russian Imperial Stout. She likes
crazy monks.
I do.
From Russia.
Yes, from Russia.
Now, this is one of their beers that they do the most with.
Yes.
Like different barrel-aged versions, blends, different things like that. There's a, if you look on the North Coast website, half of their beer list is just different versions and variations on Old Rasputin.
Right.
And it is still one of the best Russian Imperial Stouts in the country. It's consistent. It's affordable. It's good fresh. It's good aged.
Yeah. And now it's in a can.
Yeah.
Which will change the dynamic of aging it.
It will. From a consumer standpoint, I can't imagine saying, you know, 12 ounces of this is just not enough. You know,
and it's not drinking like a 9% beer. Yeah. It's just a good, roasty, rich, chocolatey, a little bit of semi-sweet chocolate there going on. And it's just, it doesn't taste like 9%.
No, it'll sneak up on you. We, again, getting back to the BJCP, this was sort of the benchmark that we would evaluate other things against.
Yeah, other Russian Imperial Stouts.
I'm just thinking they should put this in 40s, but, you know.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah. Talk about going horizontal.
The barrel-aged is in a 750 bottle.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like that.
I think they do them in 375s now, too. Mm. I think the 750s are, people are backing away from those more and more because nobody wants to share.
But the 40s make you look cool, especially when you have the little bag around them.
Dude, you know, everybody else is drinking a 40 of like malt liquor and you roll out with a 40 of
Rasputin.
Old Rasputin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you get some street cred at that
That's
point.
Right.
Yep.
At that point, you're the leader of the gang.
You are.
And anybody watch Silicon Valley? This is what Guilfoyle was always drinking. If you ever watch that show, there's North Coast references all around that show, but he always was drinking Old Raspy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll be back in just a minute with more about this beer and many more.
We're already lit.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode is Going Out West. We're talking about North Coast Brewing Company from Fort Bragg, California, and we're doing a takeover right now. The beer that we've been talking about for the last few minutes is the Old Rasputin.
And this is one that we've covered multiple times on the show over the years. Like as when we've done stout style shows, we did the Is It Worth It? When we compared the barrel aged versus the regular version of Old Rasputin. I think it's more than likely has been on some of the best of shows because it is definitely a benchmark Russian Imperial Stout. So we've covered it many times, but it's worth talking about more than once.
Oh, it's totally worth it. I think for me, this is the first Imperial Stout that I've ever had now that I'm thinking about it. And coming off of the old stock ale, that the roastiness like really shines and I'm getting like a little bit of tobacco and it's just, it's so layered and it's young. I mean, that's the great thing about a well-produced Imperial Stout. You know what I mean? Is you got so many layers to begin with and then you let this sit for a few years.
Yeah. I would love to have a barrel age too. Kind of
side by side
with it. Yeah. But I think this is the first Imperial Stout that I ever drank. You know, way
it's
back
probably
when.
One of the first ones that was widely available.
It was. Yeah. I mean, you could back in, I'm thinking, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, most craft beer stores would always have this around. And it might have been the first Imperial Stout I've ever had, Juliana. Mm-hmm. Thinking back, it's been part of my repertoire for a very long time.
Right. And the price points were really good at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
Very cheap.
Yeah, this one's still inexpensive. Pretty,
yeah. What do you think, Bob?
I think it's lovely. I mean, it's got a nice body to it. It's got some coffee notes in it. Mm,
mm-hmm. Do you drink a lot of stouts?
I drink a little bit of everything.
Yeah, cool.
I don't really have a favorite style. It's the same thing with whiskey and same thing with wine. I just go through swings.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that.
I think the longer you...
Unlike Dave, who drinks his while he's swinging.
Yes.
Well, that's my maggot out of my head. Dave standing there sifting through a bowl full of keys going, who's coming on with me tonight?
Guys, she's right over there. So
I thought you were talking about the tire swing.
I'm just thinking about the tire swing out in your backyard.
Yeah, honey, that's all they were talking about. It's just the tire swing. No.
She's thinking, is that all I have to do to get rid of him?
Well, guys, it's been a great episode. I'm sorry you all have to leave right now.
How cool. Yeah. Well, the old Rasputin, we are going to rate a 5. Nice. And one quick sidebar on here. You know, I'm getting into websites a lot lately, and...
Are you on their website right now?
I am on their website right now.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is really nice. I know that sounds cheesy because, you know, breweries are a dime a dozen and their websites, you know, there's a lot of them, but there's
most
something
of them have
to be
crap for websites.
There's something to be said for that. Yeah. And this one is beautiful. It really is. So, yay, kudos.
The artwork on there is very cool.
Yeah, I like the vintage feel of it. Okay, now we're going to switch gears completely, and we're going to go to the Pilsner, otherwise known as their Scrimshaw. Mm. It's 4.5% ABV. It's brewed in the finest European tradition using Munich malt and Hallertau, Tettnang hops, and this is a classic too.
Well, this will be interesting because... Pilsners are all the rage right now, and lagers, craft lagers in general are. So let's see how it do.
Oh, this thing has been around forever. Yeah, if you would have asked me what's a good craft Pilsner, you know, 10 years ago, this and maybe Mama's Little Yellow Pills were the only two that would have popped in my head.
Yeah, it might be all you could think of.
Oh, it's so good. Nice, malty. So authentic, very German.
Yeah. Very clean.
And to me in the summer, there's nothing more pleasing than something that's just simple and effective.
Yeah.
Like a German.
It's got that little bit of mintiness I get from the German hops.
Just a tiny bit at the end.
Very different from American Pilsners that are made with American hops. It's just that traditional old world earthiness.
And a little different than like the Czech Pilsner, which would have more of your Saaz hop.
Yeah, which are a little spicy and peppery.
Yep, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got little lady hands.
Yeah, that too. Mm.
So,
this is such a, I wouldn't say, you know, I hate to say things are seasonal at all. You know, I mean, this is just every day, but it certainly is a really great summer beer.
Totally. I mean, so, lawnmower beer, everyday beer.
So Bob, like a lot of what we equate things to with certain styles of beers is like, you know, boat beers, lawnmower beers, that kind of thing. What's a good lawnmower whiskey?
Is there a lawnmower whiskey?
Lawn mowing and drinking whiskey are two things that are not a good thing to put together. It's kind of like heroin and cleaning firearms. Generally not a good idea. It's like anything else. I mean, it's summer. It's bloody hot, and you know, no matter how much you want to get your drink on, you don't want anything heavy. You're looking for something, you know, a good bit lighter. So, you know, a more lighter style whiskey, you know, even, you know, with a scotch, you know, more of a Highland, something with a little bit more of a citrus to it, something that's a little bit lighter. And I'm with you guys. This is the thing that you're going to be drinking by the pool. And it's nice. It's got a great creamy mouthfeel to it. And I get, I don't know if it's mint or spearmint at the top, but it's got that, and it's got a little bit of a, I hate to use the word vegetal because it always doesn't sound good, but herbal sounds more rich. It's more of a, it's more of a vegetal thing, but in a good way, sort of as a top note. I mean, it's lovely.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Great descriptors.
Well, I think, to your point, like vegetal, a lot of times people equate that with like, what
green,
is that?
Green pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of they're equating it to lawn clippings and forest floor, straw. And that's not.
Yeah.
But if you say herbal, they're thinking of oregano and basil, and they're thinking of something, a very, very strong herbal type thing. So it's sort of a, I haven't come up with a good descriptor for it. So vegetal is about as close as I can get.
Well, it's like, you know, when you say vegetal, you think of like the lunch counter lady at an elementary school.
Yeah.
Versus herbal, you think more of like,
it's more, it's not, you know, lawn clippings kind of, it's more of a, you know, it's sort of more of leafy greens sort of vegetal, top note to it, but in the best way possible. So,
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's old world. Yeah. It's very old world.
It is. And you know, there's something to be said, you know, like, I feel like I'm sort of a historian and I love all the old stuff and the, you know, vintage things. And this to me is still relevant. It's still, it's current.
Yeah.
You know, and with all the excess that we've had in beers and other spirits lately, it's just nice to come back to something that's just good.
Yeah. This is a baseline beer. This is, it, I can say as a, just a hobby brewer that this is really where you learn to do what you have to do.
Yes.
If you can't brew a pils, and that's, and the thing is, it's a simple beer that's hard to brew.
Exactly.
It's really hard to brew.
Exactly.
It's simple in terms of its composition, but you've got to really work to make it right.
Well, and you don't have to use the new it hops and stuff, you know, you don't have, you know, or the, you know, crazy new techniques or things. You just go back to basic brewing and you make a really good beer.
Everything doesn't have to be the most extreme.
No.
It doesn't have to be the one that's so hoppy that you can't literally even swallow. It doesn't have to be the one that's so thick that you have to massage your throat to get it to go down. There's places for that. Yeah, that too. but again, something, like you said, going back to something that is, again, using simple sounds like a put down, but something that's simple, something that's straightforward, something that is seasonal, something that is good for this time of the year, you know. Well, everything doesn't have to be Octomore. You can, you know, you can have a nice like Highland malt. You can have a nice light rosé. You don't have to get, you know, the super Tuscan. Everything doesn't have to be to the edges. It's fine if you want to go there, but sometimes it's just nice to go back to the middle.
Yeah. As someone who's been called simple his whole life, I don't think simple has to be a put down.
It's not a pejorative term, Dave. Yeah. Believe me, we think you're great.
I'm special, okay? I am special.
That's what the nuns used to tell me. They said, you are special, son. Yeah, he's usually followed up with a hit of some sort.
Yes.
Okay.
We are going to rate the Scrimshaw from North Coast a 4.
I think we're on a good streak here. And one of the common elements we've had about all these beers is they're almost all classic reference styles.
Yeah.
And you kind of expect that from a brewery that's been around for 30 some years now, that's been, you know, just cranking out these consistent.
They kind of got it right.
Right.
Yeah. Beers. Right. Every year, year in, year out, they're doing something that, you know, really sets the bar really high for everybody that's coming after them.
They
and
do.
I think it's important that they're not improving on something that's pretty much just a baseline product. And that in and of itself is a feat, to be able to completely, you know, just reproduce this on a weekly basis, and it's the same thing.
Sure.
Well, it comes out of security, too. I mean, they've been around since, what, 88?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas how many breweries open and close on an annual basis? Yeah. So, I mean, these guys might have, you know, saying they've been around since 88 is like saying this particular distillery in Scotland is open in 1492. You know, they've been around a long time. So, they, you know, they're secure. They don't have to throw the dartboard, you know, in any direction for every single release. To what's the craziest thing we can to get the attention? They're comfortable where they are, and it shows.
Absolutely.
And you know, they're known for their really big beers. Of course, we just looked at the Scrimshaw, which is just a really light pilsner. But they were not part of the imperializing of beer sort of phenomena that's still going on, like the imperial pilsner.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, and they've never done a pastry stout that I've seen or a you know, lactose milkshake IPA.
No.
Old Rasputin with Oreos.
Mm. Oh, blasphemy. Yeah.
You know what? I would totally pair some Old Rasputin with some Oreos.
Old Rasputin aged in a Malort cask.
I wouldn't taste that. Yeah. I'm really curious what that would be like.
Right now, I'd taste almost anything once, you know. I mean, probably not twice, but once.
Yeah. Oof. Well, and also to still be independent since 1988.
Yeah.
To me, that's impressive on its, you know, in its own right. And to do classic styles and not go off the rails and do the crazy things that some of the newer breweries, you know, they're like my favorite blue collar worker.
Yeah. If they started when they were young. Mm-hmm. If I started this now and I got to that point, yeah, I'd sell it tomorrow. It's like, yeah, I'm done. Where's that big check?
Sure. No, so big.
And
kudos.
They're, you know, they're distributed into just about every state.
48.
So yeah, there you go.
Even
so,
Alabama.
I said 48.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Actually, you can get a lot of times you or for a long time you could get better beer in Alabama than you could here. So
yeah,
there you go. That was true.
We've come a long way.
How would you know? You'd have to go to. Oh my God!
Can I
change seats with you?
I'm gonna come clean with something. I am half Alabamian. So.
I thought I smelled. Yeah. I thought I smelled. Yeah.
That's why I got these summer teeth.
That's why
summer pointed this way and summer pointed that way. You guys, whatever.
I can make my wife and my sister, and there's only one girl there.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
That's where baby mama means a different
thing. What kind
thing.
Of beer would George Wallace be drinking right now?
Okay.
And wow.
George Wallace? I'm imagining a wet. Yeah.
So now
in
this
a pointy
is the,
bottle.
Yeah. Since this is the last episode of Success.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Reverend Mark, are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is your wheelhouse now.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We're going to go to Brother Thelonious.
Yeah. Well, I love Thelonious.
I love his music.
But I like to replicate these kind of beers in particular. So
for those.
And monastic beers.
So for those of you that don't know, this is 9.4% ABV. Woo. It's a Belgian style abbey that their interest in Belgian ales and in monasteries that brew them have made them want to emulate that. Jazz legend Thelonious Monk is also an inspiration for
you
North
laughed at
Coast
me when
Brewing.
I said I like his music. Ah, see?
No, mm-hmm. I was no. there with you.
We all like Thelonious Monk.
Not everyone is into jazz, but they should,
well,
they
should
be.
They should.
Normal people.
And the label features the jazz master himself. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you
I'm
know
down
that?
With that.
Yes, it does.
Yes. So, let's talk about
it. I would serve this
it.
In my chalice.
Sir, we don't need to use that kind of language here. This is a family show.
The aroma alone is beautiful.
Oh,
and it smells
isn't it
like
though?
All of those classic Belgian ales it's, you know, borrowing from.
So was it Thelonious Monk or Charles Mingus that taught his cat to use a commode? I think it was Charles Mingus, so never mind. Hmm. Okay, different show.
But that's a fairly common thing now, so we can trace it back to them.
Yeah. He wrote a book. Mm-hmm. And published it. I don't know how well it did, but
you're the only one that bought it, dude. Yeah.
Taught me how to use a commode.
I was going to say, I find it interesting you bought the book and there's no cat here.
Well, you know.
Okay.
Oh, there is a cat here, though, in spirit.
In spirit.
In our hearts.
Right. In our hearts.
So this was one of the first like craft beers that I really got into heavily was Brother Thelonious. And it's got a great, rich depth of flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice body.
Yeah. A lot of really good dark fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And it does come out of that Abbey tradition, you know, a little estery, you know? Yes. Certainly does well if it's cask conditioned, but doesn't have to be.
So those esters, like, it's not, you know, Fred Sanford's sister-in-law that we're talking about. Oh, yeah, that's right. Ed went there. It's
Fred Sanford, you old fish-eyed fool.
So that's where some of those fruity notes come from in some of these Belgian beers. Like, you know, there's no fruit or anything added. It's just the notes from the yeast. Mm-hmm. And Belgian beers are so yeast-driven. That's what kind of makes them their hallmark.
Thing I like about this is when you smell it, when you first taste it, you think this is going to be a very sweet beer. There's a lot of malt in there, but it dries out so dry on the finish.
It does. So, you know, you can drink a really nice 12-ounce pour or whatever, and it's and it just is like a good like a Bordeaux, or it just opens up as it begins to warm, you know, as well.
It doesn't make me think of a beer. It makes me think of sort of a slightly oxidized fruit wine on the nose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm getting plums. I'm getting, you know, red fruit. I'm getting almost dark grape notes on it.
A little, even.
And like you said, when you smell it, you're expecting, you know, sticky sweet, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. not.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, dry to going backwards to dry. So, yeah, surprising.
Well, it makes it really impressive because there's not a lot that goes into making this style beer, but it's got to be executed
perfectly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a good solid yeast strain to be able to produce this style. Any other thoughts? Nope. All right.
We have no thoughts.
I
had thoughts once, but they cost me too much. So after the doctor inserted that electrode, they all went away.
They're all gone.
I just wake up screaming once in a while.
Well, to Brother Thelonious, we are going to rate him a 4.
4.4.
And for his music, we'll give him a 5.
There you go.
True. I think this has been a really good flight so far.
Oh, yeah.
And we will continue with more in just a minute. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. Here we are, just enjoying some really good beer today.
Oh, great beer.
Thank you, George.
So, for those of you just tuning in, hello. We are doing a brewery takeover of North Coast Brewing Company in Fort Bragg, California. And now we're going to turn the dial a little bit and go a little tart. We're talking about the Tart Cherry Berliner Weiss, coming in at 4.1% ABV. So Michael Jackson, not the musician, he describes Berlin white beer as having an insistent sparkle, a fragrant fruitiness in the nose, a sharp dry palate, and a frisson of quenching sour acidity in the finish.
And an amazing moonwalk.
The North Coast Tart Cherry Berliner Weiss is made from Michigan Montmorency cherries, if I said that right, whose addition softens the lactic finish of the beer and brings it a springtime blush. Right. And what a great color it is in comparison to what we've been drinking.
And you know, of course, I mean, historically, the Witt beer Berliner Weiss rather would be served with, you know, some sort of a fruit
either
syrup.
Like a raspberry or a what is the green one?
Woodruff.
Oh yeah, Woodruff. Yes, yeah.
Country
yes.
ham.
Yeah. And that's that's because it was so lactic.
Yeah.
To start with, you know, it kind of just so that would round that off a little bit.
I just had a baby. It's not my fault.
Yes, please.
Oh, you were talking to him. Oh, sorry.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely beautiful.
It's beautiful to behold. Sorry you can't see this, you guys out there. But
hold it closer to the mic.
Yeah,
come on.
Hold it close to the mic.
What's wrong with you?
So they've done a few variants of their Berliner Weiss. I know they did Quince and a couple of others, maybe Plum. I can't remember, but I think the Tart Cherry is this year's Berliner Weiss from them, and I think it's the best one, honestly. I think and the Michigan probably, at least as far as America goes, produces the best cherries.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
The most varieties and the best quality.
Yeah. You hear a lot about Washington State and those are good, but yeah, I agree
hippies.
With you.
No, I got nothing for you.
I smell hippies.
Yeah.
This beer is so light and refreshing and clean and tart. It's just perfect.
And this is so
hippies.
But this is so approachable. You know, like, I don't want people to think that, oh, it's Berliner Weiss. It's going to be really tart, like super tart. No.
It's gentle.
It's there, but it, like, it warms you up like a good blanket. It's easy. It's stunning. And I still remember when it first came to this area, we had a couple of bottles and we went, like, gaga over it, right? And then we went to this one restaurant and we were talking about beer and they said, oh, well, you know, there's something in the cooler that you need to see. And it was the lone keg of this in the area. It was like such a crazy moment. I think we all just like drooled and drooled.
Yeah. I'll tell you something you could do with this. Like if you were at a wedding reception or whatnot, serve it really, really, really cold and dispense it in champagne flutes and people would just rave.
They wouldn't know it's beer.
They wouldn't
even
know.
Sure, sure.
I think you should turn it even colder and make it into a slushy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That would be good too.
It would be an alcoholic tart cherry Slurpee. Mm-hmm. And that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I could give that to my grandson.
Yeah, there you go. You wouldn't bother you much.
It's kind of bedtime.
What's wrong with him? He's a little quiet.
You know, if he's teething, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
Was he much trembled?
Smokes does not agree with any of the. I'm sorry, 110 Hand Productions does not endorse any of this.
The American Pediatric Association does not sign off on this particular recommendation.
Was he any trouble, Dad? No, he's been quiet all night. I don't know why.
He's going to be really cranky in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's just absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the better Berliner Weiss out there.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's funny, like everybody goes for Goza. Like everybody's, you know, most of the breweries are making Goza when they do these, you know, like kettle sours and everything. So it's interesting that they do the Berliner Weiss, but it makes sense considering that they're more into classic styles.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. It's kind of like doing a lambic instead of a kettle sour.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah. And it's interesting that they really are replicating a lot of these baseline styles.
Yeah.
And they do them so well.
Oh, they do. They do. And again, like no fuss, no muss. And they pick the right ingredients and they make it great. Well, the Tart Cherry Berliner Weiss from North Coast, we are going to rate a 4.
Solid flight.
Moving on. We are now going to go to the Prankster. This one comes in at 7.6%. It's a Belgian style golden ale. Belgian ales represent the height of the brewer's art. Sophisticated brewing techniques, yeast blends, and unique flavoring elements have elevated the beers of Belgium to the status enjoyed by wine in other countries. Prankster follows in this tradition using a mixed culture of antique yeast strains that produce a floral nose, a full fruity flavor, and a very clean finish.
Do you think they got them in an antique store?
They found them in their grandmother's house. Yeah. So,
That could be. Grandma, why do you have all this microbes growing in the back?
I've got to confess, of the entire North Coast line, this has always been my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah. And just, it's a good beer. It's just, you know, it, for the style, it's just kind of average to me, though.
Yeah, and it really doesn't compete well with the your Belgian and your your Abbey ales that were, you know, kind of are precursors to this.
Yeah. Well, this is not necessarily one of the most popular styles anyway. And then it's also one of the ones that are made really well are amazing. Like this style of beer, like if you go and you find one that's great, it's going to be like blow your mind.
It's not big enough to be a golden strong. It's not hoppy and dry enough to be a triple. No, I feel like it's kind of in between, and I would want it to go one direction or the other.
It's not a golden strong. It's not in terms of the,
it's kind of the same ABV as a triple, but it's just, it's a little sweet. And I would like a little more hop bite and dryness
It's almost like an under attenuated triple.
That's a good description, which I don't like under attenuated triples, you know. Yeah. So
it's almost like a double and a half.
I think it'd be a good one for a summer beer, though.
Yeah.
Because I think I mean, it's got a really nice fruit flavor to it, and it's got that little bit of tang. And I think if you got this, you know, take it out of a cooler, blistering cold on a hot day, I think this would be refreshing as heck. So, you know, it's. Everything doesn't have to be, you know, the ultimate of its individual style. Right. It has to be good. And, you know, I can't really find any fault with it. I mean, like you said, maybe it's blurring the lines between adjoining styles a little, but it's well made. It's got a very clean finish. It's got some really nice fruit on the palate. And like I said, blistering cold in a cooler after mowing the lawn one day. This would get you where you need to go.
Well, and I think too, like even Kendall's point of this is his least favorite. In a flight where everything's a 4 or 5, if it's your least favorite, it's like, you know, it's still
great.
It's still solid.
It's a solid beer.
And you know, I think because they do lager, they do the Pilsner and all, the Scrimshaw. I could see this becoming a Maybach. You know, I mean, there's really something very similar to this in a Maybach.
That's a good point. You could go there.
And that's one of my favorites. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
If I may for a minute.
Of course. We're just prepping. I know. For the final word.
I kind of agree with Made Man Bob because I'm thinking about like historically the types of beers that were available over there, right? And this was almost like their lawnmower beer in a way. You know what I mean? This is their version of a Pilsner. Yeah. It's very easy drinking. It's not too yeasty, you know, and it's big it's gold clean. ABV. Yeah. Exactly. So this can rival the Pilsners that we're enjoying so much here this summer, you know, and it's just a European version of that.
And if you're drinking with a flight of other stuff, it would stand out even more, you know, I mean.
Yeah, sure. Because that yeast strain is going to give it that extra pop, if you will.
Yeah, you're basically saying this is my, you know, the 12 year is my, you know, most hated Van Winkle product.
There you go.
Yeah, okay, I get it. But, you know, if I find a crate of it at retail, I'm running. So,
Exactly. So, it may not be the Pilsner that we're all loving right now.
So which one is your most hated Kardashian sister?
Ooh.
I think all of them equally.
Yeah.
Rob.
God. You're just making fun of him because he's pudgy.
Get it together.
Don't be a hater.
But for what it is, I think it's really nice. Yeah. And, you know, and the golden ale tends to be the little redheaded stepchild of all the Belgian styles.
Hey, don't make fun of me sitting on the couch. Right. Man, that was rude. I don't mean to say anything. I don't want anybody out of line in your house, but I mean, come on. Man, look at him.
Ginger's already take a lot of heat.
Do you see that look in his eye? He's like a hurt puppy.
Aww.
Right now he's curling up on the floor.
Let me take the headphones off. I'm going to go rub his tummy.
He'll be okay.
Gets his leg going. It's really cute.
Stay north of the equator. That's all I'll tell you.
No, he likes it south. That's the bad part. Do you have any wipes or
sanitizer? Yeah,
you'll a hose.
There we go. Hold on. They can't see the hand sanitizer, can they? I keep forgetting it's radio.
But it's there.
They can
there.
Smell it. They have smell-o-vision.
Oh, yeah. Hold it by the mic.
Yeah.
Smell-o-vision. Oh, gosh.
Make
okay.
it fresh.
Well, the prankster, for most souls, we're going to rate a 3.
Still a solid beer. Mike should send us all to Fort Bragg so we can sample it on draft.
Yeah, I think that's what we need. I want it fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to be there now.
Field trip.
Okay. When you're ready.
We keep calling for all these field trips, but they never happen.
Last time I went to Bragg, it wasn't this one.
He didn't get a free beer either.
It was all free ammo.
All right. Last but certainly not least, this is the newest offering or one of the newest offerings mm-hmm. that North Coast has, which I'm kind of excited about. This is the Foggy Day IPA. Coming in at 6.6%, it's their version of a hazy IPA. Foggy Day is their interpretation of an increasingly popular substyle of IPA. The beers are unfiltered and utilize heavy doses of citrus-forward hops. High-protein cereals in the grist, such as oats and raw wheat, create haziness in the beer and add a silky texture to the mouthfeel. There you go. So, how hazy is it?
You know, I think that hazy. Not at all. And I think it's because they're on the West Coast. They just can't pull it off. And that's okay because I like West Coast IPA.
It's a great beer.
It's not clear. So, you know, if you were on the West Coast, this is what you would get as a hazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty clear for a hazy, but it's delicious. And it's got those West Coast IPA flavors I love. It is resiny and piney.
Yes. And it's not super sweet. Right. Mm-hmm. You know.
I'm just laughing that some guy actually convinced you guys that he meant to make it this way on purpose, and he just wasn't out of filter paper that day. I bottle it anyway. These geeks I'll tell them it's new. We did it on purpose.
Yeah, but I don't know why just a well-established, iconic West Coast brewery would want to try to do something that the East Coast is just doing as a variation of a style that they've already established as being like.
Because America is full of jerks.
I know. But I don't get it.
I do get the softness on the mouthfeel. Yeah. It's not that crisp dryness that I get out of a lot of West Coast IPAs. It's got a little bit of that feel of a hazy. Yeah, so they're doing some high protein grist in there, but it just doesn't stick.
It's got the mouthfeel, but you don't have to have the the cloyingly sweet finish.
Right.
You know. I totally agree. I like the oats aspect of it that gives it that silky mouthfeel. So.
Which I feel like hazy is becoming its own separate thing away from New England. Like New England IPAs are hazy, soft mouthfeel, sweet and juicy, versus hazy IPAs could be a Midwest IPA, could be a West Coast IPA. They just add some oats and don't filter it and send you on your way.
Yeah, I've been loving the new trend of more bitter hazy beers.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
It's crazy, though. There's a lot of controversy about these, which some people are just, filter your beer, man. Should be clear.
Yeah, as a home brewer, I used to produce these all the time when I didn't have
filter paper.
Irish moss. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't have anything to clarify this beer, so here you go.
Yep.
But you know,
dinged for it in a contest.
But oftentimes, I'd have to say that clarity is overrated.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Washington says on a daily basis. So.
Yeah, right. Well, and, you know, I remember.
You could be president, sir.
Yeah, right.
And I think Kendall was there too. Julianne and I went to a blogger conference, and one of the quality control guys from Budweiser was there, and he gave us Budweiser from different.
Yeah.
Anyways, Budweiser is not bad until they filter it out and water it down.
Yep.
It was West Coast, East Coast. Why can't they get them all?
Unfiltered.
So,
okay. Well, we are going to rate the Foggy Day a 4.
It was paper that wasn't something else, everyone.
Yeah, can't the West Coast and East Coast just get along? Isn't it enough they took Tupac?
Biggie for life.
Biggie for life.
Well, that is going to do it for today's Sud segment. Very, very cool. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo. Oh.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry. Play podcasts, sip suds and smokes.
And we would love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of reviews. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
the millions
of other fans on those platforms.
And do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a really big help to us, and we get to see your Facebook feed as well.
Well, I want to thank everyone for being here today. Good old boy Kendall.
It was a pleasure. Mm.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com and post our pics on Instagram at the same handle.
Reverend Mark, so nice to see you. Good.
And I'm not dead yet.
Yes. We're winning. Bonus.
Great news.
Bonus.
Made Man Bob.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being with us. Good old boy Dave.
I am dead, so there you go.
In so many ways.
It's so special. So
inside, yep. Outside.
Yes. Yeah.
All the ways.
Inside, outside, upside down.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.